Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall. And to my left,
hey Brandon, I'm Bryce Armstrong.
Wrong.
To my in front,
I am Andrew.
Unfront. To my unback,
I am fronted from Bryce. I'm Andrew McKinley, and to my side,
Brett Welty.
No, it's the wall.
Yeah, oh, wrong way.
Buffalo. My left. Buffalo picture.
No, that's wall.
Jim Cole.
Hey, to Jim Bryce Cole. Left.
And we are back from a break of sorts.
Listen, by the time this comes out,
hey,
the break
care.
Is,
I don't
is
care.
6 weeks past.
We're behind.
I was just thinking that it was because we just recorded our Christmas Eve episode. It's like, yeah, we did tell we're on a break.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but that's going to be 6 weeks
you're right.
Past.
I don't do the math.
You know what? Who cares? People love this, right? They love it when we're not on the same date.
It's not even close.
Not even close. But we are Sorry. Back.
We're in season five.
Season 5.
Are we in 5? We're in season 5.
How do you break it up?
I don't know.
A year?
How do you break
I don't remember.
Who cares?
We're in season 5.
Have we been doing this 5 years?
No way.
No. We're in. I took Brandon seasons and then
okay.
When he was by himself. How it broke down was weird.
We're
in season 5.
Rituals.
So you get for starting in December.
That's right.
I started in March. It was like the pandemic. Not to bring that up.
Already brought up.
Yeah. Triggered.
Yeah, so it's every year.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I guess so.
Not even on purpose, but yeah, that's kind of.
So it works that way.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, so we're here today on an unscheduled day.
What?
Far in the future from Christmas
Eve. Literally exactly when we're supposed to be here.
But we are here to record some things, talk about some doodads. And whatnot.
And whatever Andrew.
Whatever Andrew does. But before we do that, we need to round up and see how in the world is everyone doing? I know Bryce is bad.
You don't even know, dude.
I don't know. I know some.
My morning wasn't great, so. Because guess what? My pride got in the way.
Ooh. And not the kind of pride that you think.
Save that for the transition, man.
Well, it's just how my day went. All right, I'll save it for later.
Okay. Pride. Pride.
Brandon, how's your new house?
Oh, no, we're not going my way. Wrong way, buddy.
I forgot who was the boss.
We go to Andrew. We have to keep
Hey,
this.
Andrew.
Wait, does Bryce have good? Do you have any good stuff?
Do you have any good stuff, Bryce? I think he does. He probably does.
So based on when this podcast comes out, how was your move?
Andrew?
Andrew's going to move in 2 weeks from today.
Which means you'll hear about it in 8. I think
that day we're talking about greed. Right?
I don't know.
That's like next. The last one.
Next.
Oh, no.
Sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So from when we're recording this, I'm moving in 2 weeks. So hopefully that move will be good. Yeah. My whole family had the stomach flu at different times during this last week. I'm glad it wasn't all together. We only have one bathroom.
I had that once. I had 3 or 4 of my kids all have the stomach bug at the same time.
At the same time.
It was brutal.
That sounds
brutal.
You have 2 bathrooms?
They were little. So it was just like we made them carry bowls around the whole time. It was rough.
Oh, it went that way.
Yeah,
you don't now? Dude,
well, we still do now. But
yeah, I was going to say, dude,
they're better.
Pierce and Layla are 12 and 10, and I still make them carry a bowl around. I don't care.
We do too. When in doubt, give him a bowl. So
yeah, this was the first time Winnie's ever thrown up, like since being a baby and spitting up. Like this was the first actual throw up she's had. She was terrified. She was holding this like it was in her hand. She's like, "What's happening to me?" And like, that was heartbreaking to watch. But
on some deep level, she blamed you for it. So
oh yeah, absolutely.
Dad, how could you?
She looked at me and Brittany like, "What are you doing? Why is this happening?" But so I'm glad we're out of that. And otherwise we're doing pretty good. We all had like my 1-year-old's just getting over it today. So hopefully the next couple of weeks will be nice while we move. That's all I got. Brett, how are you doing?
I mean, how do you follow that? I mean, that's just so much information.
Sorry.
lot to process, lot to think about. We're good. Yeah, we're good. Let's just leave it at that. I don't know. A very boring life. Like I don't know. I try not to be too up and too down. So life is pretty consistent. So I got some pretty important personal stuff coming up next week with my brother, but that's not really something I want to share here. But So if you would pray for, well, this would be after the fact. We'll pray for my brother and his next couple of weeks. We don't ever hear this, so it'd be ideal. It'll still be important even then. So,
Life is good right now. I don't have kids in the house, so nobody's throwing up that way.
It's a perk.
Yeah, I got great grandkids that age.
Brandon, how's your house?
Great.
Good.
Perfect. Good.
Is there a pipe?
Swell.
Is there a pipe? What? No pipes?
Everything's fine now.
Everything's fine, huh?
Everything's okay. I'm thinking of... been thinking about getting into the trading card games.
Oh, gosh. Just for everyone listening, this is the fourth time he said that tonight.
I just want people to know I'm serious. All right. I'm a serious 32-year-old.
Yeah, right. We know.
All right, man.
I'm a deep thinker.
Yeah, we deep know. Thinker here.
We really know you outside of this podcast.
I have. I did buy a book tonight, which is the 4th of January. It's a graphic novel about the Holocaust. It's pretty good. It's a very good story. Very good storyline. So I've been getting into.
Do you know how it ends? Not ideal.
I know.
Vladek does not have a good time.
I feel uncomfortable. I'm kidding.
Speaking
no.
of uncomfortable transitions,
no,
it was
January
4th.
Yeah, it's January 4th.
And today's my mother's birthday. So happy birthday to my mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday.
I did. I
okay,
had dinner
good.
With her tonight.
I'll go to the library and tell her to.
You should. She would be thrilled. And weird it out.
You should go
right now?
You should go tomorrow.
Just walk up like, hey, happy birthday.
You should tomorrow.
Do you know me?
Anyway,
she does know you.
She does.
And I'm flattered that Bryce's mom has been talking about me personally.
That's a perk.
That sounds so weird out of context.
No, it sounds weird in context.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm curious what, but I can find out. I can ask later, right?
Now I don't want to tell you. No, I just kind of want to leave it just like as a mystery.
I'll ask her, I'm like, why have you been
it
talking
about it? Can't be mad. She's never had a bad thought in her life.
No. That's not true.
Like, what have you been talking about?
Hey, man, I gave you a layup.
No, she's just, because every time you see her, you're just like, hey, mom, how are you? And you're just like, give her a pat, and you're just like, I missed you. You're like always just so sweet to her. And she's like, I just don't know what I ever did for him to like me so much.
This is the son I wanted.
She's not, that's not even a lie. That's true.
That's me.
That offends 2/5 of the podcast.
And yeah, we always make jokes about my dad.
I'm definitely the son that she did not want.
I wanted you.
Oh, thank you.
You could be my son.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
I'm older than you.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, well.
Speaking of transition, Andrew.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
That was clumsy.
That's what I wanted.
I overdrove my mics laughing.
Yeah, you did. All right.
Walk, 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 walk.
So I had no idea what we were going to do. So I said, hey, Google, give me a random trivia topic.
Good job.
We're going to talk about animals.
No.
Some natural sciences.
Yeah, it's the first book I read.
Super random.
I love it. Let's
a
get
book
it.
Of animals.
Super random trivia tonight.
These always pain me.
Where are my sons when I need them?
But this is going to pain me more.
Some of them are going to be super easy. Like if you don't get the first one, I'm going to reach across the table here.
Okay.
Worst dog, Dalmatian.
Kind of mean.
They're mean. Ooh. They're grumpy.
Yeah.
They're mean.
I was going to say toy poodle because I want to pump my in-laws.
Or...
Punt. Yeah.
Hear me out. Bump. I want the bump.
I don't care. Blow it up, too. I don't care.
Hear me out. Chihuahuas.
Yes. Anyway.
But I knew a couple real nice ones. So, like, they go either way. Yeah.
Ask your animal question.
Okay. All right. So, first question.
No.
What?
No.
I'm like 47% expecting this not to be about animals.
No, it's like a natural sciences. Okay, thing.
I really wish we had like a soundboard and we could just play random noises.
It's on our wish list.
After Jim said no, then do the Seinfeld bass line.
That's a great one to put on it.
Or the Curb Your Enthusiasm ending. Okay. All right. First question: what do invertebrates not have?
Spines.
Yeah, vertebrae.
Good job, Bryce.
Vertebrae.
Look, I
told you you'd get the first
Dubry.
One. Thank you.
Great
I got
university.
One.
That's where I got my degree.
Slightly more obscure question. What is the largest carnivore native to the United Kingdom?
Andrew McKinley.
I'm from the United States.
Oh, sorry.
Silly.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Close.
The Yeti.
No, hang on.
Okay. I've been wanting to read books, but okay, I'm gonna get that.
Oh, goodness.
That's broad.
Yeah.
It's got it's got
United
blurry
Kingdom?
Creatures.
Yeah.
So it's gotta be an animal that's small because there's not a lot of wildlife there.
Right.
So it's gotta be like a rat. I'm gonna say rat.
That's New York, bro.
I'm still gonna say rat.
C.S. Lewis was a fan of them.
Dragon.
Lion.
Phoenix.
They didn't have lions.
That's Harry Potter.
No. They have zoos, don't they?
But native. Native means they live there.
Oh, you said native. Oh, okay.
Not imported.
Giraffes.
If the,
also imported.
If the listeners could hear my face.
King, I know. Carnivore, right?
Yeah, carnivore.
King, oh, yeah, so King, not a giraffe.
King George.
Henry the VIII.
People.
There it is.
Yes.
There
is it people?
What is
no,
it?
No. I mean, I guess technically. No, they're omnivores. So, no. It is the badger.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Badgers are mean.
See, I was closer than all of you size-wise.
Yeah.
Tyrannosaurus rat.
Then I said rat.
Like, do they still count as a rodent, or are they too big? I don't know.
What? That's
why are you looking at me like I would know the answer to that?
Because
weasel
yeah.
of some kind.
Yeah,
it?
I think you're right, yeah.
Badgers are mean, bro.
So right. are you.
What is an adult female sheep called?
Bah.
Only by their kids.
great comeback. Oh, man.
You're actually really close.
What did you say?
He went, hey. It's you.
You. You. I, yeah. I knew that A-I-O-U. One. I knew. I couldn't think of it.
Ah, wrong vowel.
E-W-E-U.
That was close.
A-U.
A-U.
All right.
A-U.
What do you call animals that can live on land or in water?
Amphibians.
Dolphins.
That's right.
Jim,
only if they had thumbs, Bryce.
Robotic dolphins.
Only dolphins who are about to die.
I honestly like
live on land and water.
My ADHD is just out of this world right now. Sorry.
The dolphin. The dolphin walked out on
Wait,
the beach.
Only in a zoo.
Slapped me and walked back in. He got a laser beam coming out of his porthole.
Sorry.
Laser dolphin.
That was on SpongeBob.
Yes. All right. What is the slowest animal in the world? Don't
Sloth.
Say Andrew because I know you're gonna say Andrew.
It was going slow.
Is there one slower than a sloth?
I mean, sloth.
So it's a specific sloth as well.
Three-toed sloth.
Yeah. There you go. Jim's got
Sid.
It.
No way.
Jim's on top of these.
Sid.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say Andrew McKinley. It's yeah. true.
Snail.
No, it's only super, behind a steering wheel.
This is super easy. Of a no. forklift.
No.
Or in the shower.
Or anything. I love you, Andrew. Yeah.
Or wait,
what sorry. Does a giant panda mainly eat?
A what?
Bamboo.
Giant panda.
Bamboo.
I was going to say bamboo, yeah.
Yeah.
The wheatgrass. Because he's a hipster.
This animal never sleeps.
Andrew McKinley.
Yes.
No, he sleeps all the time.
I get like 4 hours of sleep a night, at least.
Shark.
No.
Whale.
They sleep moving, but they do sleep.
Whale.
Whales also sleep. They do not have to stay.
Crustaceans.
Moving. Give us
the
okay,
like
so,
a horse?
So it's an amphibian.
Frog.
That's you're the only amphibian you know.
Yes, it is.
You're also getting there.
Like a lizard?
Tadpole.
It is the American bullfrog.
Oh, interesting.
So I said
no sleeping.
Frog.
Yeah,
so
but you got to
like
get
hair.
There are lots
so
of,
I said frog.
No, there are lots of
it's
frogs
different.
Sleeping, man.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. What a terrible life.
He just rests all the time, though.
Yeah, they're just chilling, but they
all
just,
the time.
Yeah, just like sitting there, but not asleep, always awake. Mm.
Cracked down.
At least that's what he said.
They're just waiting for a flight.
No toad.
How do they know that anyway?
How do they know that? Why do they know that?
There's a lot of useless research.
That's true.
That's why Andrew's asking the questions.
Well,
roasted, man.
Hey, whoa!
I'm sorry, Andrew. I'm attacking you.
That's all right.
I was more dissing the government. But go ahead.
No, I mean one and the same. You know.
Wait a minute.
I am the man.
He's a plant.
Undercover.
Oh, hey, this is pertinent to earlier in this segment. What are baby goats called?
Billies.
No.
It was my comeback was actually like clever. Oh, no one like, actually got
kids?
It.
I got you.
Kids.
Oh, yeah. I knew
kids.
That.
Jim
You're
said
right.
That.
I don't like goats.
So when I said they're only called
faces.
That by their kids.
Oh.
Yeah. I had to explain the joke deep. So it's not too funny. Deep. Yeah.
I got hurt by a goat when I was younger.
It's a weird.
I want to hear that later.
I very much want to hear that story. I've never heard that.
He tried to write it.
No. Nope. Not that.
All right. And then this is definitely the way we're going to end this, talking about poop.
oh my God. We never weren't.
What shape is wombat poop when it comes out?
What shape is it?
Duck shaped.
So we're talking like soft serve or custard?
Oh, gross. Ew.
Oh my God.
The puke. I see that.
Like it has a specific shape.
Yeah. Is it a brick? Is it really?
Sunk.
Is it a brick?
You know,
wombats come out cube. They have cubed poop.
Is it like a?
It comes out in cubes, little squares.
So.
Little ice maker.
Starting to wonder if wombats are real.
Exactly.
It's like a square butthole.
I'm about to image Google wombat poop for you guys. Man. Yeah, it's happening, man.
This will be our first post on Instagram. Yeah. What shape is wombat crap? Cube. I don't like that.
What? Why does it look like fudge?
I don't like that because it looks like it should be in my soup.
Soup, oh my it looks gosh. Like fudge.
For our listeners. Soup.
It's one of those chicken cubes.
Wombat poops look like little bouillon cubes, yeah.
Here, this is for your ramen.
This is not better than bouillon.
Much worse. Yeah. More deadly.
All right, Andrew, I thought I was going to hate it. Awesome. I didn't.
And you liked it.
It was not as bad as
I'm
I thought.
I'm so proud of that.
Congratulations.
I'm so proud of me.
Yes, I am very proud of me for doing this.
See what I did that?
Yeah.
See what I did there?
See what I did
I'm
that?
Having a problem right
see
now.
See what I did that with my language?
With pride.
Well, I was having a problem with pride. I'm showing you my humility.
Wow, look how humble you are.
Look how humble I am by showing you how prideful I am because I'm so humble.
You know, wow. Our transitions could use some work.
No, this is what you come for.
This is what the people want.
Yes, we are talking about pride. We are in the first installment of our seven deadly sins. Number one is pride. The definition of pride. Pride is often defined as an excessive sense of self-importance or an inflated view of one's status or accomplishments. While confidence and self-assurance can be positive traits, pride in its excessive form is considered to a sin because it leads to self-centeredness and disregard for others. And so the quote on pride, C.S. Lewis from Mere Christianity would say, pride leads to every other vice, aka sin. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. And pride can have profound effects on the individual, leading to arrogance, denial of personal faults, and unwillingness to seek help. This sin blinds individuals to their limitations and makes self-improvement difficult. We have some Bible verses here. Proverbs 16:16, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. James 4:6, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. There we go. That's our first little chunk. So, seems to me, pride is the root of all these other sins. Any thought?
I think that tracks.
Yeah.
It's like, what Lewis said, basically, is that, like, it's to have that anti-godliness kind of personality. Mm-hmm. It is everything that is good for us to do. Everything that is us being obedient to him mm-hmm. is counteracted by being proud.
Yeah. Seems like you're good. Sorry.
I don't need God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can do it myself.
I got this.
Or like, yeah, he's there, but I don't need to be saved from anything. It's like an idea that comes about a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm my biggest thing is I think I can handle all of my crap by myself. I don't need anyone or anything, any being to help me because I'm so good at everything I do when I'm clearly not. So
I can govern myself. I don't need God.
Yeah.
Seems like there was even in the first five to six chapters of Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, we see pride.
Yeah, it's immediate.
Yeah.
It's immediate. Right, it's right away. Mm-hmm. It's the first sin.
Although Adam and Eve were tricked, they still said, I can do that. I can do this.
Oh, I'm clearly better than God because I don't need... He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. And you have Cain and Abel.
Even like Satan's first mm-hmm. big thing was pride.
Yeah.
Say,
yeah. I want to be God.
So you're God. I could do that too.
Yeah. You know? Which is strange. Yeah.
And then somehow convinced a third of the angels.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It can be powerful stuff. Isn't like...
I think we can be conned into believing anything we want to believe already.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, because I'm just looking at Genesis 3, and the way the devil approaches it is he says, did God actually say?
Mm-hmm.
So the questioning of God, because the question is, could I do it better? Like, or is God holding out on me? Or is there something that I could have that God isn't giving me? And I deserve that, and I need that, and I want to be on the same level as God. And that's mm-hmm. what Satan went through. And that's what Adam and Eve went through. And yeah, I think it's the first sin. I mean, call it pride. I don't know. I mean, there's a better word for it. I don't know. But I mean, it seems like it's the first sin to be on the same level as God. And it's just not, I just don't think it's mm-hmm. very good.
Yeah.
No.
It's from the beginning.
It is a bad thing.
It's fascinating because it would almost seem like it was already in there.
Yeah,
like the desire was already there, just in the way we're made. You know, we have the potential, or you know, Adam and Eve had the potential to go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, and they decided that they wanted to go this way and not the way they should have gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like how every sin is kind of like an obscured, corrupted version of something good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we were made in God's image, so to corrupt that is to want to be Him instead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great point.
It's very good. The three main topics that we're going to be hitting today with this topic of pride is the impact on ourselves, the impact on our communities around us, and a global impact of pride. I wanted to go from a micro to a macro level of how we see pride and all of these seven, like all these sins play different roles in our entire lives and the lives of our people around us, like church communities or just communities or workplaces, we're all interconnected with the infinite cube in our pocket, which is our cell phone. And so we see wars, we see pride, we see like all these things coming up, and we need to know how to to understand them and to not get discouraged, because I think being exposed to everyone's sins can weigh us down to find no good going on. We can be too skeptical about everyone, and it's hard to let actual truth in, even and to understand that everyone messes up. And so we're gonna hit. Hopefully, we don't get fired up about anything. But if we do, hey,
let's no promises. Do it.
That gets us ratings. So. But we're going to talk about the self real quick. So there's spiritual consequences with pride for ourselves. So pride distances a person from God and spiritual growth, because we're depending on ourselves and we're depending on our own knowledge, which is weak and has no good foundation unless you have a foundation built on Christ. Mm-hmm. And as it fosters, and it also fosters self-reliance instead of reliance on divine guidance. There's also mental and emotional consequences to self-pride. And so individuals consumed by pride may struggle with relationships. They experience increased stress due to maintaining an image and they have a difficulty of accepting criticism or admitting fault. Which comes to Isaiah 2:11, like the proud will be humbled. Like God will humble you. Whether you like it or not, it will come. So just get ready for that. That's a freebie, you know. But no, if we look at it, like our culture, the global culture. Well, I can't say that. Western culture promotes the self-made man, self-made woman kind of mentality. I've pulled up my bootstraps. I've done this on my own. I've built my own legacy to watch it crumble at some point in time when I die. And it all goes away. And so all the amazing things you think you've done will be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
But we have an obsessive mentality of, I need to make myself known. I need to be known by more than just the people around me, mm-hmm, in my inner circle. I need to be known globally. And you can do that now. But it might cost you something. It might cost you a bit of your soul. It might cost you your soul. Because I'm not prescribing this, but it seems to me that there is a, you have to give up something to be famous and be known for the things that, quote unquote, you did. Mm-hmm. And we see how that crumbles. We see how celebrities, when they, or we see, okay, we see about, we see people who think that they are big stuff be humbled and make shipwreck of their life. And it still doesn't change our minds. We still have this weird mentality of, hey, I want to be something too. Even if this guy just fell and I've been following him already.
I won't fall.
I'll be different.
I'm better than him.
And so there's a cycle here, you know? And so how do we break that cycle with ourselves? What are some things that you guys, the geniuses around me, would suggest or point to?
Well, I'll go first so that the geniuses could then speak. So the world isn't offering us anything we don't already want.
Yeah.
You know, Western culture isn't manufacturing something that isn't already seated in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the thing about pride is that it doesn't matter what the world does. The world can do nothing, and we would still have it. I mean, again, thinking of Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They're walking with the Lord. They have communion and fellowship with the God in a near perfect way, in a near and perfect way. And even in that, they said, well, I don't think this is enough. Mm-hmm. I think I could have something better. I want something better. So step one is just realizing that it's in us, mm-hmm, whether we want it to be or not. We don't ever beat it. No. You can never claim victory over pride.
No.
I would argue you can't claim victory over any sin. Best thing you can claim is dependence.
You can proclaim that Jesus has had victory over sin.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says everything you need for life and godliness is accomplished in Christ. There's, mm-hmm, nothing standing between us and holiness right now other than the remaining flesh. And part of the remaining flesh will be pride and will go forever. And I think what you wrote in our notes is just very helpful, because I think pride causes people, it's just what destroys relationships. It's what, mm-hmm, destroys community. It destroys so much because people can't even begin to realize their own blind spots.
Yeah.
I mean, when everything is an affront to you, because how could anyone ever treat you such a way? How in the world could you ever have any healthy relationships? Mm-hmm. I mean, why does the New Testament talk about it's a glory to overlook the offense of a brother? Love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, those are all because we all have pride and we all have things that we're going to do that are going to cause other believers to be like, wow, that's just really unbecoming. Like, I really wish you weren't like that. Mm-hmm. And so the two-way street is we need to fight our own sin and kill it, as John Owen would say, but then also bear with those, because we all have, it's a universal problem. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, the I think in the words that you used, and it's probably been said a couple of times already, is that really the answer is to recognize that I do need God, that I can't do it. I mean, I think that's, I don't know if there is another answer to that.
No.
But
not at all.
The pride makes us vulnerable, and you almost said that, actually, in that somebody makes a comment to me about anything that all of a sudden I take offense to it, and you're no better than I am,
mm-hmm,
right? Even if it's something I can't even help, right? Just because you are that way, and I'm not, you know, but you're no better than I am. Mm-hmm. And if you find yourself thinking that, you have a pride issue. Mm-hmm. And so I go on social media, and I'm hurt. Why? Because of what they said, or because I have pride? Mm-hmm. Because you can't hurt me if I'm not thinking too much of myself.
Mm. Yeah. Oh yeah. I think it's that mentality of keeping up. You feel like there's this hum of like I'm not catching up with the people around me. They're in a better place than I am, so I need to. What am I not doing right so that I can have what they have? Which it's like pride becomes almost like coveting. You know, it's like I need to be better than them, so people think that I'm the best in this circle. That I'm the brightest. And the best thing to offer our community, and that makes us arrogant, and that makes us haughty, that just makes us look at other people as lesser than me. When my show is crap, I am a crap show most of the time, right? So it's like, and that's for everybody. Like we are all struggling to keep up because the standard is not set on anything like strong and firm. It's set on sand, like pride, like these things of keeping up with the Joneses kind of idea is like you're just never going to keep up because culture is shifting quickly, and it wasn't made for you. It was made to embellish your inner fleshly desire, and they're really good at doing that. They're really like. Our culture is very good at amplifying the things that, like Brett said, that are in us, that are gross and evil. It doesn't really like project the good. At least when we come to like godly standards, right? Like biblical standards, it doesn't really like amplify that. It amplifies your desire.
You deserve
this. You deserve this. You should have this. You know what? You earned this. That's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about. I mean, what a travesty to live an entire life and never be corrected, never be sharpened, right? The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one brother sharpen another. I mean, that's part of what pride is it's taking your blunt instrument and sharpening it. Like pride makes us blunt and stupid illogical. And so part of what Proverbs is saying is you need to be corrected. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And all of that, I just think about someone, you know, I think about people a generation or two below me that just don't seem to get a lot of constructive criticism or just fold like a lawn chair when it comes up. It's like, what a sad life. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, no one likes constructive criticism no matter how well it comes. I mean, obviously it stings, but that is like, that's the crucible of sanctification. Like that's how we get better at anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the benefits are there. And also like, it's just a good reminder to keep killing sin. I'm reading, a John Owen book. And again, I want to be very clear. It's abridged, and it is also the English is modernized. So I don't want anyone to think I'm reading like legitimate John Owen. I just want to be clear on that.
I don't know who John Owen is. So
he was a Puritan, and they say that he actually thought in Latin. So his English is brutal, but he lived in England. He's just very, very hard to read. But this book is great. It talks about killing sin and any sin that we give grace to, by definition, we're not killing.
Which book?
The mortification of sin. Okay. It's an exposition of Romans 8. But what he says is, if you're not willing to kill the sin, you're giving it grace, and we can't give grace to sin. And so to say, it's okay to pop off at the mouth this one time. It's okay to, you could let it go, but this is, but if you let it go, what are they going to say next time? Because that's what happens, right? It's like, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to confront somebody. But if I don't, then they're just going to walk on, become a doormat, and all these things. That's just pride. It's just that's the kind of stuff that torpedoes everything. It's like, I can't get over this, and I need to say something, or they're just
They win.
Yeah, and I'll just be a doormat for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm.
Well, you and I had a conversation about that recently, and I
news to me.
No, I mean, I don't remember. With all these house issues I've had, there was a moment where I felt like the people that lived in my old home had wronged me. And so I took matters into my own hands. Thank God. It was God protecting him and myself, because I would have made shipwreck of my witness, like to my block because I was so furious and I was so engulfed. And you wronged me. I'm making it right. And if I don't make it right, I'm the weaker person here. I have to be the stronger person and confront you. And yeah, no, I felt like a fool. I'll just say that. Like the last week or so, I've sat at my house. I'm like, my gosh, who was that person? I know it was me. It was my natural self.
Like, I've been there.
It was
ill gross.
Yeah. The anger, the anger and the sin that is still dwelling inside of me flares up. And I was like, okay, I know who I am, but I know who God is. And I know that he's walking with me through this. I know I'm not alone, but God, help me. Help me now. Because if pride is the centrifuge of all of my other sins, please keep that in front of me. Please help me, remind me of what is in me and where it comes from, which is hell. On to pride in our local communities. We'll get into that. So, pride can damage community dynamics by fostering competition, envy, and division. When individuals or groups prioritize their status or views over a collective well-being, we can get into that a little bit, it disrupts unity and collaboration. And so there's Bible verses on pride in community context. So Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Galatians 6:3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are nothing, they deceive themselves. So the impact on communities, so there's erosion of trust. So when prideful leaders or community members dominate, others may feel marginalized, leading to a breakdown in trust or cooperation with one another. Mm-hmm. Stifling progress. So pride can prevent constructive dialogue or hinder the resolution of conflicts. A prideful person might refuse to admit mistakes or listen to others' perspectives, slowing the progress and innovation in our communities. And that can go from local community governments, then go from local community churches and congregations. You can see when we're not working well together, when we have one group of people saying, no, it needs to be this way, and it has to be, this is how it's always been. But then you have people like me who come in and say, no, we need to change things radically and not give grace to these things. And then you start to become offended with one another, which is interesting just because you think my view is right and your view is wrong, and your view is wrong, and my view is right. So we're seeing these, and then so that breaks down trust in our local communities or our local governments when we think that our local government isn't performing to the status that we think is right. Like, why aren't these roads fixed? I pay you all these taxes, why aren't these getting done? Instead of figuring out like what's actually going on and doing some research, we just like word vomit about our leaders, right? And I don't want to get into that, but it's a lot.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about roads either.
Yeah. No, this is like, I had heard that, so there's a new, so we have a new city council. We've had a lot of new members in our city council.
And I don't live in this city, no. So
new to me.
Yeah, but there's an older, live in this there's county. There's an older member who has to give his seat up for a newcomer, and he's like, I shouldn't give this up because I know what I'm doing. He doesn't. So we're seeing even in the local government just how much pride just erodes and doesn't get anything done because they just sit there and argue. We see.
Isn't it interesting how too often when it comes to historical remembrance, the ends justify the means. So if that person ends up holding their ground and taking that seat and then some good comes of it, we give them a pass. We say, oh, he was just committed. We put a beautiful picture on it and say, oh, he's just committed.
Yeah.
When in reality, was he, or did it just work out? And so much of what we look at, it just God's economy and the economy of the world are just completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole nother discussion there about, like, I mean, just when you're reading this stuff about, we could spend an entire conversation about like because I've talked with, you know, some guys in business that are like, should I be attacking or should I be marketing based on the fleshly desires of those people? Like, I'm in marketing and my goal is to help this company move products. I'm a Christian. Should I be using what I know about the flesh and how to get clicks and how to get people to buy? Is it morally wrong for me to utilize that to help this company sell products? That's a provocative question. Like, should we, like, if we know how, you know, if you're selling Beamers, you know, you're trying to sell status. Is that okay?
Those are BMWs.
Oh yeah, sure. Is there something else?
No.
But anyway,
some people might not know.
That's why I've never owned one, but I know what they look like.
The British Motor Works.
I have the internet.
Wait.
Okay.
Some people might know.
Bavarian.
But again,
wait a minute.
You know, we're going to talk about this, and then we're going to talk about it again when we get to the global consequences. The thing about pride is that it's at its base nature, it's an individual issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the problem is there are individuals in power, individuals in leadership, and for it would seem to me that the majority of people in leadership do not get there because of their Christian convictions, because of their worldly convictions. And that's not to say that there aren't Christian leaders. I know many, and you all do too. But they are definitely not the norm.
Yeah.
So it can be very tricky, because now we're getting into pride and power, and those things, you know, can be, you know, and power can really affect pride. Mm-hmm. And so when we get into discussions like this, you know, if you are a believer that has some power in an organization, like, you need to be cognizant of the fact that, like, your pride is going to be bound up in that.
Just be thoughtful.
Well, I mean, it can be dumb stuff. Like when I got laid off two times ago, I took a job. Yeah, which is a whole other thing. But like, it didn't affect my pride until I had to take a job that was of lower station. And then it really messed. Like getting laid off was cool. Meaning like I could endure that. But when I landed at a place where I was just like, this isn't going to go. That's when my pride finally kicked in. I was like, this is awful. And I can't believe I'm 15 years into my career and I'm starting back where I was 15 years ago. And so it can happen to anybody at any time. So anyway.
Well, it just seems like people who have more power and their pride affects more people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have like one person's bad decision who has a bigger role in some sort of organization or local government can affect a whole organization or a whole government. We see that play out pretty frequently. Like
School boards. There's video after video of city councils and school boards making these horrific decisions that they couldn't care less about.
It blows up.
Oh, it's bad.
It doesn't directly. Okay. This is kind of, it's not a tangent, but a lot of more high status people, they don't let their kids have social media, but they push social media on everybody else, right? So I'm like, well, what's going on here? Well, social media is bad. I'm like, then why are you pushing it on me?
Mm-hmm.
So like Mark Zuckerberg, his kids don't have social media.
The guy who designed
Facebook.
The guy who designed the algorithm of how Facebook is designed or how it's pushed and how it's
marketed
like,
on you.
He's the guy who also was pulled from the casino world because of the flashing lights. Like he knows, he understands that his kids don't have social media because he's like, there's no way I don't want their brains to rot.
But they push it on us.
That's his job, is to push this.
Just strange,
that's
right?
A whole nother podcast.
Yeah,
that's
a whole nother.
Yeah.
Which you could go down that rabbit trail forever.
Mm-hmm.
But those are serious things you got to think about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in your
career
and in your life, because we all have to have a career and we all have a life. So,
but if there's any local... go ahead.
I think for whatever reason in the Christian world and the non-Christian world, but the concepts of honesty get overlooked in all of this because I think once we can land on being honest, then I can be honest. So when I get angry, I can be honest with myself and where I'm at, but I can also be honest with the person that I'm angry with. And I don't have to yell. I don't have to scream. I just need to be honest and I need to choose my words carefully. And our pride stops all of that from happening. It's like this instant roadblock. And now I can't have a conversation with you because I'm too angry and you're angry at me. So now we can't have a real conversation. All of that comes down to pride. So we have this roadblock we can't get past. And we see that on a global scale all the time.
Right.
So but where when Jesus says in the world you live in, those in authority are going to lord it over you, but for you it's going to be different. The one that becomes the servant of everyone else will be the greatest. And I know I slaughtered that verse, okay?
Don't look those at me like verses. That, like I was judging you. I wasn't. But,
no, or like but, we would know the difference.
But, come on.
And, you know, Jesus says, I didn't come to, mm-hmm. to I came to serve, right, mm-hmm. is what he's saying, even unto death. And I think we need, if we want to really deal with the pride that's in us, we have to start wrestling with that idea. How do I serve everybody around you, even in sales, right? How do I serve my customer so that they can be the best and most effective that they are at what they do? And if I can do that, right, then I kind of free myself to do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And so how do I be honest? And I think we need to wrestle with that.
So I have a tangential question that is on the topic. So do you think if someone says that they're just more emotional, does that mean that they actually are more emotional, or they just are more willing to let their emotions be exposed? Because when I think about, I used to say that I was an emotional guy. I still would say that I am, but I think that primarily just means that, like, I'm quick to be offended. I'm quick to get worked up. I'm quick to be upset. And really that's not a virtue. It's not necessarily the way I'm made, other than the fact I'm a sinner in Adam. I mean, to say that I'm more calculating or I'm more emotional, like, is that even really a thing?
I think it can be, because I've seen you get emotional and it was a good thing. So, like, I think that can still be a trait that can be taken either way.
I was only
way.
Seeing the negative, yeah.
Because, I mean, you were one of the first people that we told that we were getting Winnie, mm-hmm. and you started crying.
I'll cry now if we talk too much about it.
So, like, that was good. There's nothing sinful in that. So, yeah, I think that that can still be just a trait that can be taken good or bad.
Yeah, right. Because these natural traits that we all have, whether, you know, more emotional or more calculating, they can, like you said, good or bad. I can choose to hide behind my trait. Mm-hmm. For my selfish reasons, or manipulate or use that trait for my own purposes, but that mm-hmm. comes back to pride.
Mm-hmm. I would also like to say it was hot in that room.
Yeah, that's my
preference. Right. It's they're all coins that have two sides. Yeah. And so if you are more hard on your sleeve, your pride can turn you into like a rage beast or something like that. You can be a tantrum. You can be someone who people are scared to be around when they get angry, you know, or if you're more cold or calculating, then you're a sociopath. Basically it gets where, like, how can I play these people around me? How can I use everyone? So it doesn't matter. I don't want to say it doesn't matter. It does not come down to whether or not it is a sinful thing to have a character trait again. I think we've talked about that in previous podcasts. Character traits do not equate to being sinful or not. They can just be used either way.
Or greater than or less than.
Yeah.
You know, this is who I am, right? Does it make me greater than? Does it make me less than?
I mean, you're part of the plan.
I mean, yeah. God gave us all these, he gave us these emotions, and our sin is what makes it, like, undone. But I mean, my struggle is to show more, like, calculated emotion. Like, not like I'm a little too closed off to be emotional because I've had a bad past with it. Like, I've been too angry at points in my life, and so I'm like, if I cry, I'm weak. Like, I'm not, like, I don't.
That's not why you're weak.
No. I'm weak.
It's the forearms.
We were getting a little too deep, weren't we?
And you see that, with, heck, like, you can see that with local church leaders. If they're too emotional, sometimes it can become, like, manipulating other people's emotions from stage, you know, or
very true.
Or manipulating your volunteers to do more for you, kind of thing. I'm not pointing my finger at the people. I am pointing my finger at
a false narrative that has been pushed around for local churches. And I think yes, we all need to like pitch in and help and work in our gifting, but as leaders, we can't take advantage of that either. We can't take advantage of other people's time and their families. Like you can't work a 40-hour a week job and then work another 40 to 50 for free at a pretty much another full-time job, you know, and you can't expect that. We need to have a better balance of how we ask people to help and serve, and to be okay if it's a no, and to be okay to say no. You know, like I'm not trying to be, I don't think I sound cynical by any means, but I mean, it's reality, you know?
I think we should be realistic. And I think whether you're working or serving a church or working in a job, like you should understand the same things you're dealing with, you're going to get from the people above you.
Mm-hmm.
So you should go into a job or anything knowing that that person that's over you is going to have the same prideful inclinations. They're going to be fighting the same battles and sin. And it's a chance for you to be gracious, but also be guarded in the sense, in a healthy way to say, to your point, like, you know, a job, for example, let's just take ministry out of it.
Yeah.
A company is going to take as much as you're willing to give. If you're willing to give 60 hours for 40 hours pay, they'll take it. No one's ever going to say to you, don't do it. No one's ever going to say, I mean, let's just be honest. Like if someone you work for says, I have your best interest in mind, you'd say, you need to say for now, because you have to, I forget the saying from the Old Testament, but these people knew the times they were in. And I think we just need to be cognizant of the fact that like pride and sin corrupts everything. And so we just need to be careful in a healthy way and to be gracious and use it as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel.
And not that we're gullible. I'm not saying we're gullible people, but I think we come in with like the rose colored glasses. Like we come in like, oh, these people do have like the best.
Hopeful.
We're hopeful that
they're
going
to be hopeful.
Yeah, it's good to be hopeful. And like maybe they do have the best intentions, and then we forget, like you said, we're all
maybe
people
they
too.
Do, but even our best intentions are murky. Even you know, if we want to be as humble and contrite and helpful as we can be, we still, you know, we're never going to be 100% without mix.
So I hope the previous comments I just made weren't like pointed or offensive. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to speak to reality and what has been going on. And I don't think if we don't point out the spot's only going to grow. It's going to get worse. And
you know, one of the last acts Jesus did was wash the disciples' feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, this leadership concept is really, really big. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can enter into our relationships, whether it's an employee, a volunteer, or my boss, or whomever, it doesn't matter what rung of the ladder I am on, I can serve the people around me. And if I can hang on to that concept, I think in general, I'll be able to handle a lot more of the pride issues that I'm going to have. And it's still going to break down.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be right there in my face. But I'll also recognize it quicker, too, if I've already got a servant's attitude, intentional service attitude. It's not going to happen. It's like it's not natural.
No. It's just keeping that in front of you.
Yeah.
All right. So global consequences of pride. On a global scale, pride manifests in power struggles, political conflicts. So we've seen this so much. And an unwillingness to cooperate for the greater good. Historical and contemporary events often reveal how national or ideological pride can lead to war, discrimination, and yes, environmental neglect. Yes, 100%. We see that. We see the plundering of our world. I'm not going to focus on environmental stuff, but we do see that when we have the conquest of things, and this is part of more greed than anything, but when we just plunder, we see the consequences of that on our world. But the downfall of powerful empires often followed a period of excessive national pride, and a sense of invincibility. Prideful leaders We see the prideful leader. This is really hard to like not be like cynical and mean. But we see what goes on when we have a leader that will not give up, even though they're wrong, even though they're doing something evil. It's too like if they bend the knee, that means the entire world knows that they bent the knee.
I can't be seen as weak.
Yeah. So we see that playing out right now a lot. And I think we see it more because of the interconnected world we live in when it comes to social media and to
everything's on video.
Everything's on yes, everything is on video.
Optics is a much bigger game than it used to be.
Oh yeah, it used to not be as important.
For some odd reason, that has become the center topic that brings everyone together is global leaders and how bad they are and how terrible they are.
What's funny is no one would do a great job.
No.
It doesn't
matter.
Especially
no one who wants the job.
Yeah. People right. that should have the job won't take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true because they're too humble.
Yeah. And I would also say.
I mean, that's just yeah. real.
That's yeah. true. That's true.
You'd say what? Sorry.
I forgot.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
It's just this topic's, this piece in particular.
Oh, I remember.
I think we all can like, in our minds, we can understand, yes, pride runs rampant when it comes to global issues. But how do you say it in a way that is just not a rant fest and a cynical like viewpoint of all world leaders?
So the answer would be this. One, a world leader is an individual, mm-hmm. and the answer to all individual yeah. sins is the gospel. It's the answer. Mm-hmm. It's the answer. The answer is not better policy. The answer is not better voting. The answer is not better anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only answer.
Yeah.
The only answer to fight sin is grace in Christ. That's it. So name the leader. I mean, it's not even worth talking about because they're not even going to, they don't have the equipment.
No.
And also what I was going to say was, We're throwing shade at all these leaders that want to apologize. Who's apologizing in your personal life that has any power over you? Mm-hmm. Last time your boss apologized. Again, not to be cynical, but I mean,
no, you're right.
It's not it's like true. The world is carrying a sack of sorries and no. handing them out everywhere they go.
No.
I got one in my...
You're right. Yeah. No, you're right.
Again, I mean, it's...
It's true.
The root issue is whether it's a global leader or a regional leader or our own life. It's the same issue. Mm-hmm. And so the answer is the gospel. I mean, I have a lot of problem with this wing of Christianity that thinks the answers are better policies and better. I mean, that's not the answer. The answer is the thing that is that changed the world was the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yep.
Not
you're right.
Not Caesar. Democratic republicanism that mm-hmm. came that changed the world, which I would argue it did change the world. The government that we're in is fascinating and amazing and awesome. I'm glad to live here. But that's not what changed the world. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's not what will change the world going forward. There's no amount of reasoning that will change any dictator's mind on anything.
You can write as many bills and policies as you want. It's not going to change anything.
Can't change it.
I think in theory, it's a great idea. I think and to have better policies.
I do too.
But,
I think you should go for it.
But there's a big, big but. They, like, those policies are... obviously tied to other things, to other interests.
Oh, every time.
I think the era that we live in now, that veil has been torn off. We see that that's murky and gross. We probably would have been able to, I imagine people in like my dad and his dad and his dad knew this, but for some reason, my generation was under the impression that the government's going to come and help me and make things better. And so I need to be cool with that. And maybe it's the celebrity factor that they put on these politicians, right? That make us think like, oh, they have a great interest in me, and they don't. Let's just be truthful here. They don't. But and that's okay, because we cooperate, but we do not bend our knee to them. We bend our knee to Christ, and we pledge allegiance to Christ. I'm not saying that you don't have to be patriotic with, like, don't, I'm not telling you to do that. Like, don't, like, love your country. You can love your country and you can love God. But when the country goes before God, we have an issue.
I think that might be specifically what it is that was different about this most recent generation is that, I mean, even like someone born in the 80s like me, I still grew up with God being the dominant higher power in our country.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a quote-unquote Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that now there are more households that put their trust in government because that's the highest power they can tangibly see.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And so I think that's the difference, is that like they're growing up in households that maybe have never heard the gospel even.
There, you would be shocked how many people have never heard the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean,
and ever. I'd say 40 years ago, that would be minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, I have no idea what the numbers.
It's close to the majority.
Yeah.
I would think you're right.
Yeah. Well, agree. So,
a big shift.
Yeah. It's a problem. I mean, so you could call whatever you consider about the founding of our country as Christian or not, the majority of people that founded it would have had Christian convictions. And that just, that bleeds into the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what our laws or our structure is, we just had a group of people that were primarily, we came here based for religious liberty. That's what the pilgrims came for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just been in our DNA. So it put together a lot of great things. And now that it's gone, we see the effects of that. It's not getting better, just like nothing gets better. Sorry, Jim, I stepped on your...
No. You know, just going clear back to the garden, right? The idea that I could, you know, be my own God is it, and to say it a different way is I can govern myself.
Mm.
And so then now you collectively put a bunch of people in the room and they're going to collectively govern everybody. They all bring their own pride and issues. You're going to naturally have breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to always be there. And it's interesting. Don't murder, right? Don't kill, right? That's pretty straightforward. Oh yeah. But what if, okay. We'll call that one murder two.
Yeah.
But what if, oh, that's murder three.
Yeah.
That's manslaughter.
Yeah.
Oh, but what if that's because we can't define it? And once you've moved the line,
there's no going back.
It's blurry.
Yeah.
You broke the seal. You don't know where the line is.
Yeah. Keep sliding now.
And that's where we're at. Where we've moved the line so far down. We don't. I mean, come on. What's a woman?
No.
There you go.
We don't have time for that.
Right.
But apparently,
that line has been so blurry, so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even define what a woman is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, Jim, earlier in this episode, you said that people are just looking for... This might have actually been before we started. We were talking about like where we're going. You're talking about people looking for something just earnest and genuine and something real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we've spent like the last decade or so saying that doesn't exist. There's nothing real or true. And
right?
So people are feeling that empty spot in their heart now for something that's real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I go places where you wouldn't think God would be at or open to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just here a couple of Sundays ago, I was at one of those places as I watched over half of the kids there go and get their Bibles. I made the mistake of grabbing their Bibles off their shelf because I didn't know they were reading it.
Yeah.
Wow. Right? Is that crazy?
Yeah.
People are hungry.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like Andrew and like everyone's been saying, it's like, what's this world have to offer us? Nothing. Nothing that's substantial by any means. It might put a Band-Aid on how we feel for a minute, but it's just going to get ripped off again, and the infection's going to be seen again. We've had it. We've had in the last decade, we've destroyed all meaning to all things to where it's open. That's why we have a pride movement. You know, like pride isn't not what you think it is. It's degeneracy. Like this is what we see like the pride movement become. It's just never a good thing. Why would you ever like pride? I'm proud to be beep, 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 beep. I'm not going to say it, but like, it's just what? So your libertine idea of I can do whatever I want with my body whenever I want. And you're proud of that, I guess. But we see the ramifications. We've seen the reports. We've seen the conclusive studies of what happens when you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. You either end up mutilated or you end up dead.
Right.
Yeah.
They've done studies for 10 years, 15 years down the road. And I think every time.
I think you and I, Brett, said in Elect Exiles a month or two ago, is that it seems our society pushes they have this obsession with death from womb to tomb, before tomb. Mm-hmm. And it really does sting to know that. I'm like, okay, so our leaders, obviously, especially if you only hold fast to this world and the leaders around us, so they don't even want me here? I can see why people have this crisis of meaning. Well, then what am I doing? I'm not trying, it's kind of heavy, but it just we see the proud becoming humble. Like us saying, I can handle this myself. And then when you get the chair kicked out from underneath of you, then you're left barren and broken, alone, and you realize that you've been chasing after something that is utterly useless, and that is utterly going to disappoint you and fail you. And then I feel like that's when the Holy Spirit can soften your heart. So when you're at the lowest of your low, he can come in and pick you up, make you new.
When we recognize our need.
Mm-hmm. If we don't think we need something, we're never going to see it.
I'm going to throw a whole other wrench in this thing, and I'm going to say, on top of all of that, the church has not done a good job of offering a robust view of our faith. And so not only do we have an entire culture that doesn't care about Christianity, when they walk in the door, they're like, I don't need, I could just sit and listen to a Gary Vee podcast to get this kind of self-help. I don't
100%.
Need it. Yeah. Whereas, 1 Timothy 3 says that the church of the living God is a pillar and a buttress of the truth. We should be the ones that are upholding truth. And I think the passion, at least for me, and I think for all of you guys in this podcast, is to show the world that this faith is far more robust and far more satisfying than anything the world has to offer. If you think Christianity is just, it's just a different set of to-do lists. It's a different set of standards to follow. It's a different, it's a different angry man upstairs than the angry man upstairs that I've been following in the government. Mm. You're missing the whole point. That's not to say God doesn't have a standard. He's not holy. I mean, he is. But the good news is, if we had a robust, true faith and a real understanding of how substantial God is, so much of this would just fall away. Just fall away. Your pride is very easy to humble yourself when you see the greatness of God. It's very easy to love one another when your complete self-worth, or whatever you want to call it, is placed where it should be, which is in Christ. And it all fits. And it's just far more robust and far more, you can sink your teeth into it. And I think even Christians don't know. There's so much you can have that we just don't get it.
Well, we tend sometimes, it seems like, that we've fallen onto the side of rules.
Mm.
So therefore, and we actually call people names instead of being constructive and walking alongside of them. Mm-hmm. And I say that when I say, you're a sinner and you need to change your ways or you're going to go to hell. That's not helpful to anybody. You don't start a relationship or a conversation. I want the conversation to go on long enough that I get to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. But if I come with my gun already drawn, conversation is going to be really short and nobody wins.
Mm-hmm. Can't evangelize somebody you don't like.
No, yeah. That's good.
Standing on the corner screaming at people with a sign doesn't help.
Yeah, I just think,
to look from all outward appearances as someone who really wants them to go to hell. To say, let me save you from hell. Man, I hope you go there, but I'm going to try anyway.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
I remember my dad used to go to Promise Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him. I think I might have been there with him once. But I do remember. So we lived close enough to Westboro Baptist in the Missouri area. Oh, and I remember they came and were protesting at Promise Keepers, saying all their things. And I remember the men there circled them and just started to pray for them. And not when they weren't combative. Wow. And it legitimately like spooked those people from Westboro Baptist Church to get, and they got even more angry. And I was like, I thought that's how we're supposed to be, like peacekeepers. We're the peacemakers. I think we tried to have an episode about that a long time ago, but, that's how we fight back against pride, is we depend solely on God. And we ask him to come and settle the moment and settle the fire.
Can't save the world by the means of the world.
No.
Right. Right. And even in the whole evangelical or missionary kind of approach to things, I have to enter it with the realization I don't bring anything to the table, that I need God in this situation, that I'm not going to save anybody. I'm not going to bring anybody to salvation. I'm just going to be there and let God use me for his purposes. He's the one that's going to speak to their heart. He's the one that's going to draw them in. He's the one that's going to do the salvation. But my pride gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. Did that thought come back to you?
Like I said it.
Did you?
Okay. I'm sure it's fine. It wasn't probably that great.
Well,
I had a quote, but I can't remember it. It was about it was something along the lines of like, no one gets browbeat into heaven, but they're enticed by the sweetness of Christ. It'd be something along those lines.
Listen, I think we've talked about it multiple times, but was it 2 Peter of like live in a way that begs the question?
1 Peter 3. Yeah.
1 Peter, yeah.
For the hope that is in you. So your hope has to be different than the hope of the world.
Like, why do you not jump the gun when a situation like that, in my opinion, would deserve to be, like, you should freak out on that. Like, why do you not yell at your wife when she humiliates you in front of everybody, kind of thing, you know? Like, well, I have a standard that has been given to me from heaven, and we try our best to follow it, like, with God's grace. And so I think the biggest question, I think the biggest answer that we have tonight is like, live the way that begs the question of why, like, and keep your pride in front of you. Like, when you see it and when you see it come out of you, and like, acknowledge it, don't ignore it. I don't like, it's like, oh, I don't, and don't make excuses for it either. You know, like, don't make excuses for the reason why you flew off the handle because you thought you were right, but you were wrong. And it turned out we're all wrong here, but.
Oh, it's super easy to convince yourself that it's okay to have.
Oh, yeah.
I think back to, like, what are the chances that Adam and Eve, like, once they were told, oh, hey, this fruit's going to put me on God's level, we can be such better companions for him if we can be on his level.
Yeah.
I would guess that they at least hit that flip in their mental gymnastics to be like, I can be... Because God needs me, and he needs me to be better than I am right now. Mm. And so if I get on his level, if we're the same, then I'm so much better for God. And this is a good thing.
Yeah. Like, there are Bible characters. Well, that kind of thing kind of leaks out every once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of a psalm. God, if I'm dead, how could I possibly worship you? I mean, you need me. Right?
Obviously, you don't think you're going to heaven.
The psalmist, right? No. You know, why would the psalmist say that if he wasn't battling with pride?
Yeah.
I would say in 1 Peter 2, it says, be sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. I think why John Owen's writing on killing sin is so important is like, it's a war. Like, pride in your heart is a war. Like, this is not something we want to fool around with or to try and give me a 10-step plan to kill pride. No, the answer is kill it. Like, that's the only answer we've got for you.
Yeah.
There's no second answer. There's no stair-stepping out of it. It's choosing to follow Christ, seeking the grace that he offers, and fighting it every day.
Yeah.
And when you put it before you and you see it, you have to say, this needs to change. I need your grace, God, because I'm not going to change it on my own.
Yeah.
So I have my agenda. And what I hear you saying is I need to lay it down for God's agenda. That's not easy.
No.
So going into work with a bunch of people that I like or don't like, you know,
right? Depends I'm supposed to serve
yeah.
them,
yeah.
right? How do I do that? And I think that's the only way you can keep. I don't. The only way you can keep your pride in front of you is if you're taking the attitude as I'm going to be that servant, mm-hmm. because then when you're not, it becomes obvious.
Yeah.
I've said it before, and I'll say it every time we talk about it.
Yes.
The strength, true strength, is humility. It's not thumping your chest and pride and ego. True strength is laying down your life for somebody else. Think of all the great stories. Think of great war stories. Think of any. I mean. Laying down your life for a brother is what everybody finds to be the most moral and greatest thing you can do. And we have the glorious privilege of being able to do it every single day in the Christian life. The strength is in weakness. Strength is in humility. Nobody wants to erect a monument to an arrogant person.
Right.
They want to erect it to somebody that wants to get to what truly in our base nature we know is the higher virtue, humility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is plays out Romans 12:1 to be a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. to lay my life down every day.
Yeah. It's really good. Very good.
That's just one of the seven deadly sins. There's six more to go.
I know.
You know, and in a lot of ways we just scratched the surface.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's so deep.
It is.
They're and vast.
I have a feeling this one will come back through all of them.
No, you will see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, greed, you're going to see, like, I deserve more.
Mm-hmm.
Lust, I deserve this. More. Yeah, I deserve more. I deserve better.
I deserve more than they do.
Mm-hmm. So you just see it all.
Sloth, I deserve more for less.
Yeah. I deserve this break.
I shouldn't have to work that hard.
Exactly.
Gluttony would be like, I deserve to let loose and just let myself have what I want. Yeah. I deserve a little treat.
So, a couple
yourself.
Yes, yes. A couple of extra things here. Elect Exiles. Yes,
it exists.
It exists. It keeps coming out.
It exists.
It does suck. Hey, we would love it if you rated and you reviewed our podcast.
Yeah,
and you would comment on it. We want to know what you think. We want to know what we're doing poorly at, and we love
or well. Pour on the comments, 5 stars on the review.
Yes,
that's all we ask.
Post your pictures of square wombat poop.
Please don't. Please.
Bryce
don't.
Will have to go through all of
them. I have to go through all of them.
Like, wow.
Feel free to just photobomb Bryce.
Remember what's that brand of gum with the ice cubes?
Like
yeah.
That's what it looked like. Except
they still
brown.
Have those.
They're brown.
They're awesome.
Brown.
The wombat poop.
Oh, not the
you gum. Can you I'm can also bad. You can also follow me on Substack because right now I'm writing about all the seven deadly sins.
That's right.
What's your handle?
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
You can also follow.
Say
it's
it
Revolt.
Also.
Revolt, but it's I can't remember.
Is it BrandonWoodall.substack.com?
Yeah. But
you don't know how to spell it.
No,
I'm not saying you don't know how to spell. You don't know how to spell how you spelled it.
No, well, I spell. I do. It's revolt. So REVOLT! Exclamation point.
Revolt.
Revolt. It's kind of the same idea as this, but
one word.
I talk about a lot of different things on that.
Or follow Brandon home.
Yes, I have a new home.
We'll do tonight.
I have a new home, but no. So is there anything else we need to plug?
Man, no. Patreon.
Yeah, our Patreon.
Support.
Patreon.
Work.
Buy me a coffee.
Buy me a coffee. Buy us
links
coffee.
Links are below.
We love coffee.
Tell people to look forward to some social media activity.
Yes.
Or not it's yet. Active. Am it's I gone. Jumping the gun?
We're going to. We're
jumping the gun.
All right.
By the time this
it's happening.
Comes out,
it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah. Those are created.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to be churning. This year's going to be a lot of churn and a lot of delivery.
We'll be starting a sketch comedy show.
I love that.
Yeah. You say that like it's a joke, but like you would do well at that.
Yes. We would do
way
well.
Way too well.
And we would probably not be a Christian podcast.
We're okay. doing we're doing, the, we're doing the Loft House cookie interrogation first.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, so, sure.
Help us spread the word.
Yes.
If you've been helped by the content. We'd love to have you.
Oh, yeah. We want to give you what you want. And
you deserve
of,
it.
Yeah, and a little
you
bit of
deserve
what you
deserve it. Because you deserve
what you need. You and do. Also, hopefully you could tell that we haven't, no one here has locked in on pride either.
No.
So we're speaking as practitioners, not as.
I'm pretty humble.
Maybe. You're probably the most humble one at the table.
I'm still joking. I'm still bad. So like,
you not could, saying
like,
you're
you
great.
Legitimately, like, roll over again into like being such a people pleaser is still a pride thing because all you care about.
And we missed a whole part of this pride.
Yeah, I know. A whole nother.
Okay, guys, it's part two coming. Yeah.
We just scratched the surface.
Yeah, really did. Yeah.
Low self-esteem is just the.
It's a different kind of pride. It is still pride. Another, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
Trust me, I'm struggling with it and just on the other end of the spectrum.
Well, it'll
because all I do is live on the spectrum.
Me too.
Like I said,
that's what my doctor says anyway.
Like yes, he does. But like we said earlier, you'll see pride pop its head up on all seven of these and more. So mm-hmm. You don't have to worry; it will come back. Yeah. It'll make a sequel, seven sequels. No, six sequels.
Six.
Yeah,
seven. Yeah, math's hard.
Hey,
I
this
know.
Is not a
we
math podcast. This is a
fake order
podcast.
Of perfection here. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Maybe. Anyways.
We gonna go to bed now?
We should go to bed here.
Oh, okay. I don't want. I want to go.
Can
home.
I ride to church in the morning? Yeah. I drove. Why did?
Yeah.
Can I get a walk to church tomorrow? Anyways, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Catch us on Apple Podcasts. Where all podcasts are.
Spotify.
Where all good podcasts are sold.
iHeartRadio. No, we're not.
We are on iHeart.
Of course we are
now. Oh, iHeartRadio.
Now, bro, we are on so many.
Podbean.
This guy doesn't even know.
I know.
We're on a lot of we're on every major
if you can't find
platform.
Us, it's your fault, not ours.
It's 100% your fault.
Well, there's a lot of Outsiders podcasts.
If you live in, like, northern Canada, we will telegram it to you.
We'll type it out.
It will take
we'll send it on
7 to 12 business months.
Is that how mail works?
We are not paying the stamps.
Bryce, you're typing it, so, like, it'll be a while.
I would use AI. It'd be done in a day.
AI can't use a typewriter, man. It's got to be an old-school typewriter. Cha-ching.
I don't think you understand how printing works, but okay.
Yes. All right, yeah. This has been Outsiders Podcast. See you later.
Bye.
Love you.
Ding dong.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dog-proof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.